Now, he goes on here in chapter 6. We're in the same section. And now you have the relationship of the minister here to another group. Actually, it's a group here to those that are called servants. Listen to him in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Now, I'd love to spend a long time at this particular place here, because I believe this is one of those important places in the Word of God. This is the relationship of capital and labor. The Christian should render a full day's work for whoever he's working for. And if he agrees to work till 5 o'clock, he's to work till 5 o'clock. Then sometimes they go out and leave their pickaxe hanging in the air. They don't finish up. But a man that's a Christian is to turn in a full day's work for a full day's pay. But now suppose that his boss is a Christian. It puts it on a different basis. It brings it even above any kind of a contract. I know a plant that's a manufacturing plant, and it's a big one, back in Dallas, Texas, where the owners of that plant are Christians, and they employ a great many seminary students. I have the privilege every time I go back there speaking, and they give those men 45 minutes, and they have a chapel service, and it's time that the boss pays for. But it's marvelous there. I commended them one day, and they said, don't commend us, because we find that many of these men who work for us that are Christians, well, they do better work than anybody. We feel that this is a two-way street. We don't feel like they're helping us. We feel like that they are wonderful employees, and we're not giving them anything, and that they are rendering to us everything. What a wonderful relationship. I wish I could tell you some more about this, because right here in Southern California, we have several small manufacturing concerns run by Christians. That is, a Christian is the owner and runs it, and he has employees, and they listen to this program every day. They're listening to it right now. And I just want to say a great big amen and thank God for you for two reasons, that you're given a testimony in the world, and you support the Through the Bible Radio. Thank God for organizations like this today. You see, Christianity, friends, gets out in the workshop. It gets its hands greasy. It gets its feet down in the mud sometimes. Not the mud of sin, but the mud of hard work. Now, we have here, we begin with verse 3 now, and he comes back to these great truths that he's dealing with, those that are not cooperating. What about that? If any man, verse 3 now, chapter 6, teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and disputes of words, of which cometh envy, strife, railing, evil, suspicions, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And actually, there are proud men in the ministry, and they do cause trouble in the ministry. Pride will always do that, and it's unbecoming of a child of God. We ought to recognize that we're sinners, saved by the grace of God. And there's always the danger of having that pride, pride of place, pride of race, pride of faith, and pride of grace. And some people even proud that they've been saved by the grace of God. Someone said to Churchill once concerning Attlee, says, well, at least he's humble. And Churchill says, well, he has plenty to be humble about. And believe me, we Christians have got plenty to be humble about. We have a very sorry, sordid background. We are sinners, saved by the grace of God. And here, you're to deal with these folk, by the way. Now he talks about the rich. Ministers are to deal with the rich. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's the important thing for the child of God. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. When one of the Astors died years ago, some of the heirs were waiting outside. When the lawyer came out and the doctor, they said immediately, they said, how much did he leave? And the lawyer said he left everything. He didn't take anything with him. We come into the world that way, and that's the reason a child of God ought to use his money for the work of God. I believe today that making a will is fine, but I certainly have seen that abused, and a child of God ought to make sure that he's supporting the work of God. But the Christian, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now remember, it's the love of money, not money, but the love of money. They've erred from faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now not only do we have the rich here, now he begins to tell about what the average Christian, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, unto which thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. It's like that little saying that I've given now several times. If you were accused of being a Christian and brought into court, would there be enough proof there to get a verdict? May I say to you, that's what he's talking about here. Lay hold on eternal life. Make it clear that you're a child of God. Verse 13, I command thee in the sight of God, who maketh all things alive, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall sow, who is the blessed, he's the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And you're known by the one you're following. If you're following Christ, you must be a child of God, and you're going to let people know it. Now I drop down to verse 18, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, that is to sympathize, willing to share, and laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life, and that is on the life which is life indeed. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, that is empty babblings, and oppositions of knowledge, falsely so-called. Don't try to be an intellectual preacher, a teacher, a Christian, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee, amen. We go to 2 Timothy next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.